Hey guys, welcome to JW's Brainwaves, where I'm your host, Jessica Brooks, and I'm here with my co-host,
Shirley Brooks.
Hey mom, it's been a while since we've been on here.
Yes, it has.
How was your Easter?
Easter was good. It was good. I went to church, came home, had a little brunch with one of my cousins and your dad, and that was it. We got to take a nap that day, which was great. And so Easter was good. How was your Easter?
Horrible.
Okay, so moving right along.
No, we need to let the people know. So each year, my loving mother normally makes an Easter basket for me and my sister. This year, there was no Easter basket, and my niece got like a halfway Easter basket, and I don't even know what's going on. This isn't Easter.
This is the new Easter. This is the new Easter.
It's not acceptable.
Well, I was hoping, I wasn't hoping, but I figured, you know, with your TBI, maybe you'd forget that you didn't get an Easter basket.
Horrible. I look forward, Easter is like literally my favorite holiday. And partly because of these Easter baskets. And we have like an Easter basket cake that we normally do. And like, it's just all the traditions are just like falling apart. The only good thing about Easter was I got to see the babies dance at church.
Yeah, all the babies except for your niece.
Yeah.
Someone needs to tell her that she's part of the dance team, not the instructor, not dancing from the aisles, not sitting in the seat watching everybody else dance.
Poor thing.
But anyway.
She's the crowd motivator.
Yes. But this week we got some exciting things to talk about. One of them being, I don't know if you ever heard of the movie called Awakenings with Robert Williams.
No.
Robin Williams, rather, and Robert De Niro. I'm like getting the names kind of mixed together. The movie is about a sleeping disease where Robin Williams, he's a doctor in this hospital, and most of the patients are like almost like a sleeping state. A lot of them are active. I mean, not active, but they're in a sense awake. But they're also asleep. You know, there's like very too little movement. They're very lethargic. A lot of them just sit around with blank stares on their face.
That's horrible.
So most of the people in this particular film had a condition that's called encephalitis. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that, because encephalitis is a form of a brain disease. And so I wanted to discuss that a little bit today. And so how about yourself? Anything you would like to share today?
That I hope that I get an Easter basket and it's just delayed and it's on its way.
Yeah, that's...
Easter candy is 50% off. Just saying. Other than that, I actually have an article that I wanted to share with everybody. And it was an article for hope, actually. I was thoroughly inspired because when you do have a TBI, sometimes you're not able to participate in society like how you normally would if you didn't have a disability or if you didn't have a traumatic brain injury. And this little 9-year-old actually is leading the way. And his name is Cam, and he actually started his own business to help empower individuals with disabilities. So I want to talk about that guy, and he's just nothing short of amazing. Like, it's crazy.
Sounds good. A 9-year-old with his own business.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Alrighty, well, I guess we can go on a quick break, really, really quick. And we'll come back and we'll start digging into these stories.
Okay.
Hey guys, welcome back to JW's Brainwaves, where I'm your host, Jessica Brooks, and I'm here with my co-host,
Shirley Brooks.
And we have some really cool topics that we're going to be talking about today. The first one is with my mom.
Encephalitis.
Yeah, encephalitis. What it is, how you get it, who gets it. Mm-hmm. And this one's pretty cool because it actually expands beyond humans.
Yeah, even animals can get this.
So animals can get TBIs as well, which I thought was pretty cool. So did you want to dig in with that?
Sure, sure. Well, first of all, let me just explain what encephalitis is. It's an inflammation of the brain. Basically, you can contract a viral disease. And the way it affects you is, actually, there's like several signs. Let me just go through some of the signs that you can experience. A lot of people, they'll have a fever for more than 2 days. And you can get prolonged headaches, okay? Because, you know, your brain contracts this inflammation and you'll feel more and more pain as the inflammation increases. So that produces a headache. And then you'll get this like a stiffness in the neck or the back area without having any type of muscle strain. So what happens is your spinal cord passes through your neck, and when it passes through your neck, it transmits signals to all the different parts of your body. So when you get this inflammation in your neck or the stiffness in your neck and your back area, the spinal cord is being, basically it's being choked. And so the...
It's like pinching the nerve.
It's like, exactly, it's like pinching the nerves. And so the brain signals that are being sent through your spinal cords basically get stopped, or it's very hard for them to pass through your body. You can suffer with a lack of energy. So your brain becomes very focused on protecting itself from the infections due to the inflammation, that it doesn't have the extra energy to take care of your normal body processes. So, you know, so you'll start to just feel very lethargic and, you know, just have a lack of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you can also experience drowsiness. Okay, like your quality of sleep becomes affected. So you won't really fall into like a very deep sleep. So
we'll get back to that, though. We're going to have to go to a quick break, quick, and we'll come back and we'll talk about the sleep.
Okay.
Welcome back to JW's Brainwaves, where I'm your host, Jessica Brooks, and I'm here with my co-host,
Shirley Brooks.
And if you're just now joining us, we left off with chatting about the
encephalitis.
Encephalitis, which is a long-term, which is a
inflammation
of the brain. We covered that animals can actually have it as well, and it affects our sleep. You said.
Yes. You know, not only will you experience a lack of energy, but drowsiness, because your quality of sleep becomes affected because you don't go into a deep sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It messes with your sleep patterns. And also, as you become more and more complex, getting to more and more deeper symptoms, you can experience seizures. Now, the seizures are a sign of a complex problem that's linked to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have a permanent brain damage, and you know, just having a seizure all in itself, you know, is a pretty severe condition.
Yeah.
One of the things that really kind of opened my eyes was the fact that you could also get tremors from this inflammation of the brain, because, again, you possibly damage some nerve connections, somewhere in the body, where your brain is focusing on tackling the encephalitis and doesn't have the extra resources to control the body movements. So you don't control the body movements, therefore you can get these tremors. And it made me think of, you know, someone that I've come in contact who this particular woman, she complains a lot about having tremors. Mm-hmm. And I've seen them, you know, as we were talking, she's moving her hands and talking, and I could see the shakiness in her hands and stuff.
So did she have it for a long time, do you know?
Or did she just had it for a few months. She's she had an accident at work. She's a nurse, and you know, a patient. A patient was falling, and she tried to stop the patient from falling. She ended up falling, and I believe, if I'm correct, the patient may have, you know, fallen on her to a degree.
Yeah.
But it caused some damage, you know, to her body, her neck, her shoulders, her back, her legs, her hips.
It's a fall. Yeah.
Yeah, and so now, you know, she's going to physical therapy. But she's suffering with a lot of different symptoms. And one of the ones that scares her the most is the fact tremor. That she's having these tremors.
Tremors are scary. Like, even I had tremors at one point. Thank God it went away. But, like, that was really, really, really scary for me. In the beginning stages of my journey, I guess you can say. And that was, like, I was, like, kind of cool with the symptoms that I had. Like, I didn't get scared or alarmed until the tremors came, and that's when I was like, oh God, I actually really need to, like, make sure that I'm in the right care and with the right healthcare providers and stuff like that, because I can't live with tremors. Like, tremors to me was, like, permanent. I immediately thought of, like, Muhammad Ali or something like that, where it was just like, oh gosh.
Right, where he has Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, but which still, also has tremors. So right. I was just like, we need to, like, figure this out immediately. And that's when I was, like, getting squirrely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is understandable, because you're right. That's, you know, that's not, like, an everyday symptom to most diseases or injuries. You know, but just a few more symptoms that you can experience with encephalitis would actually be hallucinations. You know, that's an indication that your brain is incapable of maintaining a stable level of consciousness due to the disrupted synapses, you know, between the neurons in your brain. So again, your brain is trying to send signals out through your
spinal cord
through the rest of your body, and it's being interrupted. You know, they could be coming out intermittently, or not coming out at all, and so you tend to start suffering from hallucinations.
That's scary.
This is, you know, this is typically in an advanced stage of encephalitis.
I wonder if it's, like, true hallucinations, or if it's something that, like, comes along with the medications that they're put on.
That's a good question.
That's a question, right? That's,
yeah.
That, I mean, I know we may not know the answer, but
right. If I had to take a guess at it, I don't know. I think the hallucinations are actually more so from the condition itself, as opposed to the medications, because I think you'll start suffering these particular hallucinations before you're actually placed on a particular medication.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if it's, like, full-fledged hallucinations, or, like, the eye, like, catching things, because even with me, like, I probably just stopped this, like, a couple of months ago, and I just never said anything, so y'all don't tell on me. Because I wanted to, like, wean off my doctors instead of adding doctors, so I never said that was one of my symptoms. But one of my symptoms was, I wouldn't say hallucination, but, like, with my eyes, like, moving, like, when I move my head and my eyes come back around afterwards, like, it would catch, like, it wouldn't fully focus on what I'm seeing, so it would appear as though something was there. I couldn't tell you if it was, like, human or an object or whatever, but I know, like, when I moved my eye from the right to the left, I saw stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like the old cartoons, the way they used to do them. They would do a lot of drawings of the same thing, just with slight variations. So like when you turn the page very quickly, you get that. If you see it slowly, you see the pages flipping.
Right.
But if you turn it fast, you don't really catch the pages flipping. It just appears there's a smooth motion. But you weren't getting that smooth motion. You were getting that.
And ridges, yeah. And I was like, I didn't want to say anything because I don't want them to think that I'm crazy. Like, I go to a neuropsychologist anyway. So it's like their heightened insensitivity to, like, things that would be odd. So I'm like, if I say that, then they may put me on, like, other types of medications. And then I'd be further away from my goal than, like, closer
to your goal.
Yeah.
I mean,
so please don't tell me.
No, I understand that. But, you know, as part of your recovery, you do kind of want full disclosure so that everything could be treated. You know, and I understand your intrepidation about letting them know about this. But, you know, again, on the other hand, maybe if they were aware, they could possibly do something, you know, about it. We don't know, but there's always that possibility.
I mean, thank God it sorted itself out. But that was just... Yeah, I'm curious to know, like, what causes for them, or...
It could have been, you know, at the time, could have been the medication. You could have had some inflammation, and actually you did, because that's what kind of...
put me in a situation here.
Right. But, yeah, you did have some inflammation in your brain, you know, again, which caused the speech delay, you know, and some of the other symptoms that you had. So, you know, in researching this particular condition, you know, I did find that, you know, some of the loss of brain function, you know, could be
because of the swelling.
Right. And because of the swelling, you could have problems with speech, behavior, memory, and balance.
Oh, yeah. My balance was off.
Exactly.
In PT, they're like, walk the straight line, and I'm like drifting.
Right. And remember, you had to, if you wanted to make
a turn,
you had to take a long turnaround. You couldn't just stop and do a 180. You had to do like a 340 to make a turn. So, you know, so you, in a sense, had some of these
symptoms
of encephalitis.
Yeah. It sounds like an STD. Encephalitis, like that sounds weird.
Well, one of the ways of getting this, actually, there is something called
syphilis. That's what it sounds.
Yes,
like.
No, a herpes simplex
carries this.
Yeah, one of the common viruses or one of the causes for getting this can come from herpes.
Hmm.
Which is an STD.
See, I wasn't far off.
You no, you weren't.
Slow but sure.
You know, but again, just to kind of finish up, like, some of the, the symptoms could be memory loss. Because, again, because your synapses are damaged, you know, or destroyed, or even beyond repair, the memory center in your brain is threatened. You can get severe mood changes, like temperament, perception of reality, and emotions are affected. You know, you'll feel like a lack of control over your emotions and a lack of memory of some of the things that you've said and done.
Mm.
And, you know, you'll kind of know this because the people around you will begin to let you know that you're in this stage.
Well, excuse me. Sorry, guys.
Am I boring you?
No. But on that note, we'll actually take a break and come back and finish up where we left off with that. Welcome back to JW's Brainwaves, where I am your host, Jessica Brooks, and I am here with my co-host,
Shirley Brooks.
And if you're just now joining us, we are talking about...
encephalitis.
Thank you.
Yes. I know, it's a mouthful, and sometimes I can't even say it. But But basically what I wanted to talk about this during this segment is...
Oh, can you quickly let them know what encephalitis is really quick?
Okay, which
is
the inflammation of the brain.
Perfect. All right, and we're talking about...
Well, I want to get into who gets it.
Yeah.
So basically anyone can get it, including animals. So we've got something in common with the animals. Most people either get a primary or a secondary form of it. Primary form of encephalitis is it occurs when a virus directly infects the brain and the spinal cord. A secondary version of it is when or occurs when an infection starts elsewhere in the body and it travels to the brain. Now, some of the milder symptoms that a person could get would be fever, headache, vomiting, stiff neck, lethargic, you know, exhaustion. Young children, you can notice some of their symptoms, you know, if they're vomiting, the soft spot in their scalp, if that starts bulging, constant crying, body stiffness, you know, poor appetite. And then we have some of the more severe symptoms, which could be a fever of 103 or higher, confusion, drowsiness, hallucinations, slower movement, comas, seizures, irritability, sensitivity to light, and unconsciousness. But let's get into what causes the encephalitis.
That's crazy.
That's
a wide range. Like, it's like you can almost get it from anything.
Just about anything, yeah. Well, some of the causes, there's many different causes. You get it from basically, mainly from viruses. You know, common viruses, childhood viruses, and what's called arboviruses. Now, and I'm just going to explain to you really quickly what these viruses are.
What's an arbovirus?
Well, I'm going to get to that.
Oh, sorry. I'm bad.
Don't mess up my flow.
Sorry.
All right. So a common virus is herpes simplex. You know, so that will, it will travel.
So simplex 1, 2, 3, I don't know. There's like multiple of, like, simplexes.
Any, all level of the simplexes.
That's crazy. Yes. So you can potentially get that, like, if you had... not you, but like if someone had it and you like drank from their cup, isn't it? Like,
yeah. So it could travel through the skin. You know, it could cause a cold sore, or in rare cases, you know, it could travel, you know, through this cold sore, through your skin, and it could travel up to your brain. So that usually affects the, you know, the temporal lobe, which is a part of the brain that affects, temporal.
Nope. Bam.
Speech and memory?
Bam. Temporal lobe.
But speech is back here. No, speech that's eye. Like, that's eyesight. Speech is here. You're right.
Is back here.
You're right. You're correct.
Thanks, anatomy. One, you're and correct. Two. Shout out to my lab partner, Olu. We passed together.
Anyway, your temporal lobe, which is a part of the brain that affects speech and memory. And it can also affect the frontal lobe that controls the emotions and your behavior.
Personality.
Okay, other common viruses that can cause the encephalitis could be the Epstein-Barr virus, HIV, mumps, and cytomegalovirus.
Ooh.
I don't know what that one
is. I was about to say.
I knew you were going to ask, but I didn't know what that is. But also, just, you know, there are certain childhood viruses.
Like chickenpox?
Chickenpox, yep. Measles and rubella.
Rubella.
You know, thinking it's a lot of those particular diseases are kind of faded off. You know, they're still around. We haven't totally absolved them yet, but they're definitely not as common as they were even when I was, you know, a young child growing up. But to answer your question, the arbovirus, these are viruses carried by insects.
Ugh.
Yes. So
if you like hiking and stuff and ticks and all that, there you got it.
There you go.
And you can get a TBI from Lyme disease. Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. But, you know, we have, like, for example, the California encephalitis, which is also known as the lacrosse encephalitis. And that one's transmitted through mosquito bites. And it mainly affects children. So it has few to no symptoms. So you could be walking around with this particular condition and not even know it. But in St. Louis, we have the St. Louis encephalitis, which is usually found in the Midwest and the southern states. And it's also a mild virus with very few symptoms.
That's scary.
Yes, it is. But now we have one of the more common ones that we've heard of in recent years called the West Nile virus.
Dang, so you can have a TBI basically from that?
From the West Nile, yep.
That's crazy. Which is, you know,
now the West Nile is commonly found in Africa and the Middle East.
I guess, like, oh, well, that's what's making it so harmful and, like, why people are, like, so afraid of it. Because mm-hmm. it's causing the swelling in the brain. That's crazy, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it does give you, you know, like, flu-like symptoms, but it can be fatal among older people. And people with weakened and immune systems. Yep.
Jeez.
So then we have the Colorado encephalitis, which is also known as the Colorado tick fever. Okay, that one's transmitted by the female wood tick.
Yeah.
Yeah. But most people recover quickly from that one. And then we have the Eastern equine encephalitis, which is spread by mosquitoes also. And it also... That one mainly affects humans and horses.
Dang, I always had a dream of, like, getting a horse and doing horseback riding and stuff. Like, I've thoroughly looked into it. Mm-hmm. They have horses that you can buy for $1.
Oh, really?
Yes, you just got to be able to, like, store it somewhere.
Yeah, store it somewhere, right.
Yeah, like, I legit was, like, serious about it. Like, oh, I'm going to get a horse.
So just keep it in your room, I guess?
I don't know. I think you have to have, like, 3 acres of land to get it or something like that. So I was like, dang, we can't have it here. Like, I thoroughly did research.
So just shy of a couple of acres, right? But we also have the Kayasamori forest disease, which, you know, is transmitted by ticks and tick bites and from drinking raw milk from goats, sheep, or cows. Ew. So don't just go straight up to a goat and try to drink their milk, or even a sheep or a cow. You know, have it pasteurized or something like that. You know?
I would be scared. Like, I wouldn't even want
to... I'd be scared too. But,
this is so sad.
But, I guess when we come back, we can talk more about, you know, how do you diagnose encephalitis? And some of the ways that it's treated.
All right. Well, we're on our break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, guys. Welcome back to JW's Brainwaves, where I'm your host, Jessica Brooks, and I'm here with my co-host,
Shirley Brooks.
My mama. So if you guys are just tuning in, we're talking about the encephalitis. And which is a brain...
Inflammation of the brain.
There we go. And we were just... Leading off, we left off with all the different types and how it's going to be treated, or how
we're going to get into how it's going to be treated.
Yeah, possible now. Treatment plans.
Yeah, before we even get into that, though, I'd like to talk about how you diagnose it. Some of the ways that, you know, healthcare you can providers. Have all these symptoms. A lot of the symptoms that I named. Are common enough symptoms where we may get them with different types of diseases and things. So, I mean, you can get a fever, headache, vomiting from just about anything. So that doesn't necessarily mean that you have encephalitis. But if you have a combination of a lot of the symptoms that I named, you know, of course you want to see your primary doctor. So that you could get a some proper of these diagnosis. Things.
Yeah.
Right. So one of the ways that your doctor might diagnose encephalitis, it could be through a spinal tap or a lumbar puncture. Don't even ask.
What?
Brain imaging with a CT scan or an MRI. You can also give you an EEG, you know, blood tests or brain biopsy.
Who's doing a whole brain biopsy? Like,
well, if a lot of the other tests are coming back negative or inconclusive, then they might do a brain biopsy where they're just going to take little tiny pieces tissue of your, you know, from your brain.
Yeah, it's a whole brain surgery. Do you know that? Who's doing that? No.
Well, hopefully it doesn't have to get to that point.
That's crazy.
But some of the, but once you've been diagnosed, some of the ways that they are treating this is through antiviral meds. And that one's mainly for if you have the herpes encephalitis, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to give you an antiviral med because it's going to treat the herpes, which is going to help.
Like decrease your symptoms.
Exactly. For the other types of encephalitis, you know, basically it's, you know, plenty of rest. You may get painkillers, corticosteroids to help reduce some of the inflammation, mechanical ventilation to help with breathing. You know, hopefully it doesn't get to that point. Lukewarm sponge bath. Then you have the anticonvulsants to help prevent and stop some of the seizures. You can also be prescribed sedatives for the restlessness, the aggressiveness, and the irritability. And fluids, which are often given through an IV. So
there's hope, but
there's hope. The treatments, you know, seem relatively minuscule or minute compared to the actual symptoms that you might be suffering. But thank goodness, you know, again, the treatment is not as severe as what the symptoms appear to be. But on a lighter note,
we need some hope right now because that's like depressing and sad. Yes. And like,
so I'm going to throw it your way and where we can discuss
a little hope. Let's give them some hope.
Yeah, a little bit of hope here. Let's brighten things up here a little bit because you read a very interesting article that I'm really anxious to hear about.
Yeah, so I was reading from journalnow.com and I came across this young guy that is actually 9 years old and he is a TBI survivor as well. And they mentioned his mom as well. Her name is Letitia. Jeez Louise. And I forget her last name. And
Myers?
No, his name is Cam Myers, but her name is Letitia something else. The mom was actually really supportive helping her 9-year-old son do activities that made him feel a part of society, and which increased his quality of life, which I think is very important for the TBI community overall anyway, because we do have high levels, high percentages of depression and suicide. Mm-hmm. So if you can increase someone's quality of life to any capacity, I always think that that's a great thing for people who have disabilities. So what Cam did was he actually opened up a coffee shop. And it is in Winston-Salem, and he started this coffee shop to employ individuals that have disabilities like himself. Mm-hmm. So they actually hired 4 employees and 2 interns to work at the coffee shop that all have either physical or mental disabilities, mm-hmm. which I thought was amazing.
Yeah.
And he's only 9 years old. So
really?
Like,
I mean, you have people who are 50 years older than him and haven't started a coffee shop. But here you have a 9-year old who's doing something like that, who's becoming an entrepreneur. So just think, at 9-year old, if he's opening up coffee shops, imagine what he's gonna do at 18 or 29 or, you know, 59.
Mm-hmm. And he basically got the idea from his family because his family had like a home coffee bar, and it was like a no text, no cell phone, no cell phone zone where mm-hmm. their family gathered to bond over warm drinks. The mother's last name is Lewis. I just read it. Mm-hmm. And so at a young age, like, you know, he wasn't able to drink coffee, but they would like warm up milk and put cinnamon in it. And then they would give him like a drop of coffee just so he could feel like he's participating in their like family coffee gathering.
Mm-hmm. And milk and cinnamon. That's good. I never tried that. I think I might try that.
That's really good. I like warm milk and honey too. That it's like calming. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really, really, really cool that the mom actually encouraged her son to, you know, try this out. And she said she originally started to help him, like, so he could have a hobby. And then he actually got contracted to go to, like, local hair salons and beauty supplies, beauty salons. And he was selling coffee there.
Oh, nice.
And so what he would do is he would take his tips and he would give his tips to homeless people.
Oh, nice.
So he's like a little pillar in his community. And not only is he helping people who are disabled, but he's also helping those who are homeless. So he is definitely a hero at this point.
Yeah, well, he's a hero in our book.
Yes, he definitely is. And I think he deserves the spotlight, you know, the TBI spotlight. Because this is literally amazing. He has partners too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he has partners. One of his partners' name is.
So now, wouldn't you be surprised if you read that and it said Shirley Brooks?
I know, right? I'm like, wait, what? You invested in his thing?
No, as your Uncle Ray would say, what? The what?
I know. what is it? I just had it. Oh, Bespoke. Bespoke Confections. That's one of his partners. And actually, the partner was pretty cool, too, because their missions aligned. So, Bespoke actually hired an individual that had autism, and they groomed them for their spot. Mm-hmm. And nice. So they've been already doing, you know, these mentorship/business opportunities for those who have been affected or who have had disabilities, which I thought was really cool, too. And they're actually open Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and they're looking to expand their days. And they have a really cool menu, too. But when we come back, I'll share the menu with you guys. Keep on listening. We will be back soon. Welcome back to JW's Brainwaves, where I'm your host, Jessica Brooks, and I'm here with my co-host,
Shirley Brooks.
So if you're just now tuning in to this last segment, we are talking about Cam, who is a 9-year-old, who's a 9-year-old who started his own business. He started his own coffee shop, and he has partners. And his employees are disabled. Well, I don't like even saying that. Like, they are survivors. And they come from various backgrounds with disabilities, mental disabilities, physical disabilities, so on and so forth. And Cam is a TBI survivor. So he is the TBI champion that I actually look up to. To be honest, I would love to do something like this and be able to have the community involved. And he's here to better the community. He even has like a full-fledged menu, which is amazing. His menu has caramel macchiatos. It has chocolate mochas. It has cinnamon dolce lattes and Cam's cookie craze. So this is just amazing. Like, I'm literally speechless, and I admire him. And it's funny because even at the end of the article, they open up and they talk about how he has been depressed and he is angry because he was cognizant of his shortcomings and felt like he was failing at small things, and he felt that through this coffee shop mm-hmm. that he would be able to, you know, participate in society and like help the betterment of society, and he's doing it.
Yeah, he's doing it better than a lot of people without disabilities. You know, just the fact that he had enough oomph to hire someone with disabilities, because he could have very well says, well, let me hire some people who are go-getters, who don't have any mountains to climb or obstacles to get over or to work through, so that I can make my business grow fast, grow strong, and, you know, grow healthy. But instead, he took a different route.
Yeah.
And came out with a strong, healthy, vibrant business.
Yeah.
Which, you know, kudos to him for doing that. And especially at 9 years old. I mean, I'm just amazed at his age. Mm-hmm. Doing all that he's doing at his, you know, at his young age.
Yeah. And, like, he did it, you know, with some shortcomings, which is amazing in itself too. Like, to have a TBI, that's life altering, like life changing,
right,
in itself. And to have that at 9 and then still be able to super exceed that and, you know, formulate a whole business,
mm-hmm. that's my hat pretty good
off to him,
really. And for his mom too, you know, for backing him, his family,
yeah,
for backing him and helping him to realize his particular dreams.
He even won an award, the Youth of the Year Award.
Hmm.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
He's inspiring.
Yep.
I'm going to follow this kid. I hope that he does well for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't get discouraged.
Right. But speaking of very long time, we've been doing this podcast since January.
Yes, and we are coming to a close for our first season. Yay, yeah. We made it through.
We made it. Yeah, and nobody threw popcorn at us.
Or tomatoes.
So yeah, we are going to be taking a little, what we'll call a spring hiatus.
Yeah.
And, but we'll be back. We're definitely going to be back. We're going to come back in July, just in time for a symposium
mm-hmm.
that Jazara's Way will be holding in July. So we'll be back
just in time for that. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
It's gonna be exciting.
Definitely. But we would like to take this time to thank everyone who has, you know, thought it not robbery to support us, to come out and be with us on Saturday evenings, to discuss, you know, different types of brain injuries, and just to enlighten people and to let them know what's out there, what's going on with the brain injuries, any type of advancements or movements that are being held on behalf of the brain injury community.
Mm-hmm. So, and just being an advocate, honestly. Thank you for being an advocate. Thank you for listening in and spreading the word and speaking with your family members about what you've learned or what's new, or, you know, just being a part of the conversation. That alone is spreading the awareness, and not a lot of people know about brain injuries, the effects, how it affects your family or anything. And because of you guys, like, taking the time to listen in, you know, it's broadening everyone's horizon.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, and not just from the side of the injured, but also the caregivers. You know, as my husband sits there and points to himself, because he was very, very, very instrumental in, you know, making sure Jessica got to her doctor's appointments, and, you know, sometimes just being there just to, you know, be a sounding board or someone or her advocate, you know, there are times when there's questions that need to be asked, and you as the injured individual may not have or be in a position to ask those questions, or because you're just so in pretty much in a state of shock at what's going on with you, you know, sometimes you need that caregiver by your side to aid you or help you through some of this process. So thank goodness, you know, thank you for the caregivers that are involved in this process also.
Yeah.
And, you know, we hope you as a listener and a caregiver has, you know, have or will be walking away with some helpful information also.
Yes. Also, thank you to Miss Wanda and her husband for coming on and being a special guest for this season.
Yes.
Her story was moving. Literally, I've been walking around the... Well, not walking around the streets randomly, but, you know, just, you know, being out in the community, people have told me that, you know, her story changed their perspective, you know, and it was, like, very, very real for them. Also, her husband, Mr. Lenny Williams, thank you for coming and sharing your experience as a caregiver, a spouse,
a supporter,
father, all of that. And also to Joe
Santa Liquido.
Yeah. Just giving us the view from, you know, the sports
community,
and, you know, boxing and football and all of those sports there. His view gave us an insight, actually, you know, that I didn't have before from that avenue. My stance is strictly from a car accident. So to hear from, you know, people who are on inside of, you know, athletics, that was a strong position to hold. And we thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But again, like you said, we'll be back.
We will be back.
Yes, we, as Arnold Schwarzenegger would say.
I'll be back.
Yeah. But this is just a short break that we're going to take so that we can regroup and come back with some fresh new thoughts, ideas, and conversation and topics for you.
Mm-hmm. We have some special guests lined up, which is awesome.
Yes. So, you know, this is not goodbye. This is just... see you later.
Oh, Lord. You're all, like, making it all, like, sappy and stuff. It's a goodbye. I love you. It's like, what is that? That show, that one movie, The Letter? No.
The Notebook.
The Notebook? Oh, you're making this, like, The Notebook, Ma.
I wouldn't know. I didn't see the movie.
It's all sappy.
But, no, I am. I'm just very grateful for the people who have listened.
Me too.
So
if you miss any of the episodes, we're gonna upload them onto YouTube. We will drop the information on Facebook. We will also drop the information on our media outlets, so you can go back and listen to any of the episodes that you've missed, or view any of the episodes that you've missed through YouTube. Also, you guys can go to iTunes, Pocket
Podcast,
and Google Play. There's another one, but I can't remember. But we are on all social.
iTunes, Google Play, Pocket Podcast, Facebook.
We're on all media platforms. Just type in JW's Brainwaves, and you can listen to all of our episodes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you. We will talk to you soon.
Don't get sappy.
I know. I was saying, we out. That ain't sappy on my end. All right. But thank you guys again for listening and being here with us. We really, really appreciate it. Feel free to stop by our website, www.jazarasway.org. If you like this, if you love this, if you love what we're doing, don't hesitate to donate to the website so we can continue our programs. But until then, hasta luego, adma, au revoir, ciao, arrivederci. I don't know what he's just saying.
Avita Zane.
Avita Zane.
Oh, iTunes, Google Play, Pocket Podcasts. Oh, that's it.
There's another, but they emailed us to say, but we are on our way. And we'll see you next season.
Bye, Felicia.